Good morning. Again, a welcome to our guests. We thank you for joining us this morning. And it is indeed a pleasure to see so many familiar faces and old friends. This morning, we're going to take a look at a text in which we will see a disciple of Jesus do something that to us seems to be this huge miracle. And yet, as he does it, he is looking and listening directly to Jesus Christ. And then we will see as he gets distracted, he begins to sink. But our Savior does not let him sink to death, but rather reaches down, lifts him up. And because Jesus continues to reach down for us and lift us up, from the sin of the sea of sin, or from the sea of sin that we are drowning in, I can bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text for this morning comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 14, verses 22 through 31, and I would ask, as you are able, to please stand for the reading of the Gospel. Reading in Jesus' name. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent away the multitude. And when he had sent the multitude away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, do not be afraid." And Peter answered and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And Peter was come down out of the ship. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And then they that were in the ship came forth and worshipped him, saying, "Thou art the Son of God." Amen. Please be seated. I missed a verse when I was cutting and pasting. Our text for this morning begins again right where we left off last week. After Jesus had fed the 5,000 plus the women and children. And Jesus again wants to be alone. And so he sends his disciples away on a ship. And he himself is going to disperse the crowd. Now we know that Jesus hasn't had that opportunity to mourn or to talk to God after the death of John the Baptist, which happened at the beginning of this chapter. And so, he, I think, is still in that troubled state. He has served the people. He knows John has now gone to his death. He knows that he is about to go to his death. He knows that he's going to take on something that's utterly different or utterly contrary to who he is, because he is now headed to that point where he is going to take upon himself the sin of the world. And not only that, he is also going to take the wrath of God in our place. He's going to be rejected by the Father. so that we could have new life in Him. And so, again, I can tell you this. I am arguing from ignorance in some of this. The text doesn't exactly say why he's going to pray. But Jesus knew what he was going to face in the upcoming months, weeks. He knew that his people were going to reject him. He knew he was going to his death, and he wants to be alone. And yet, let us look at what he does with this crowd. And immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go ahead of him to the other side. And while he sent the multitude away. And after he sent the multitude away, he went up into the mountain by himself to pray. And it was evening and he was there alone. I think it's very interesting when you deal with this, because Jesus sent his disciples to go feed that crowd. And those of you who were here last week understand, and I explained this, that Jesus doesn't go out and feed all the people. He tells his disciples, you go and feed them. And he blesses them and gives them all that they need. In fact, he gives it in abundance that he was able to feed the 5,000 men and all the women and children also. But then, his disciples leave the picture. And Jesus is there to send them on their way, to personally deal with them. And as I was thinking about this, to me, this shows how much Jesus actually cares for that crowd. He didn't send out his servants to go send them off. He personally goes and deals with them and sends them on their way. And what I like about that analogy is it's not the disciples that they follow. It is Jesus Christ. And even today, it is not any of the pastors that you are to follow. It is not the people that feed you. It is what and whom they feed you, which is the person of Jesus Christ that you are to follow. Not a pastor, not any man, but rather the living Son of God. And then Jesus does go and spend his time in prayer. And as he finishes, he goes out to see his disciples in the night. But by this time, the boat was battered by waves and was far from land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, he came walking to them on the sea. Now, I was thinking about this, and again, we get to the sea references, and I can somewhat understand them. I've seen some pretty rough seas. I've been in some pretty tight spots. This is not a fun thing to do in the dark. For one thing, even being in a larger boat than I was usually in, you can't see where the waves are coming. You can't see how they are hitting you. And you are being buffeted from sides, and sometimes you don't understand what is even going on. And so this is where these men were. They were probably a bit scared even from that. And then we start to see the miracle. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were frightened, saying, "It is a ghost." And they cried out for fear. I think this is interesting because, again, this is kind of one of those things where we think this is such a great miracle. Jesus walked on the water. But as a believer, this isn't such a great miracle. This is the Creator. This is God Himself. The elements of this world do not constrain Him. That's ridiculous. What's interesting is what we will see in a little bit. But we see the typical reactions of the disciples and they're absolutely and totally afraid. They cry out in fear. It's a ghost. But Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take courage. It is I. Fear not." Now this to me is what Jesus does for mankind and has been doing it from the start of His birth. From the announcement of His birth. When He talks to mankind, "Fear not." In the midst of everything, do not be afraid. In the beginning of the Gospels, the angel appeared to the shepherds to announce His birth, saying, "Fear not." When Jesus comes back or is raised from the dead and shows up to His disciples in the upper room, He says, "Fear not." Now in the middle of His ministry, He is telling His disciples, "Fear not." And yet, what are we running around doing? We're afraid of everything. We're afraid that somehow something out there is going to hurt us. The whole idea of the Gospels is that we would not be afraid. Jesus Christ came that man would no longer have to fear everything. Because now He is one of us. He is the Son of God. God sent His Son to die for our sins, that we would have eternal life. Is there anything on this earth that can hurt us? There is nothing. We are children of God. We are the children. We are the brothers and sisters, the siblings of Jesus Christ. There is nothing that can hurt us here. Enough of this. The Scripture tells us that Jesus is even the author and the finisher of our faith. He takes us from the beginning to the end and carries us through. He has that ability. And He has the ability to care for His church. And has been doing just fine for 2,000 years. Are there ups? Are there downs? Absolutely. But God is always faithful. The only way that we start to fail is when we start to rely on ourselves and what we are doing. And we will see this in our next verses. And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it is You, command me to come to You on the water." And He said, "Come." And Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came towards Jesus. This is the miracle. This is the miracle. Because Peter says, "If it is You, call me and I can do this." And Jesus says, "Come." Jesus doesn't tell Peter, "Now wait a second. You got to make sure that you walk the right way. You got to make sure that you do this in some special way. I got some rules for you that you got to make sure you follow." He doesn't say that. What He says is, "Come." And Peter, a man subject to all the natural elements of this world, gets out of the ship and walks on the water. Keeping his focus on Jesus Christ. That's the miracle. That Jesus Christ can allow us, by His power, to do everything in Him. And now notice what happens with this whole deal. As Peter gets out, he goes and he goes forward. And there was one line that I came up with when I was thinking about this last night. It's not in the list. It's the Nike saying. In today's vernacular, Jesus says, come. And I kind of looked at this and I said, just do it. That's the whole deal. Do it. And so as I was thinking about this, really, we are all called by Jesus to do something. And the things that I'm talking about are as simply as showing love to our neighbor. To as complex as going, giving up your whole life and your whole lifestyle and being a missionary in a foreign country. And all the things that come in between there, in serving the body of Jesus Christ. Sunday school teachers, people who sing, people who clean, all those things, just do it. Because if we are called to do those things, God certainly will equip us and give us the ability to do them. And I know this from vast experience. Not all of you remember what it was like back in about 1993. Because not many of you knew me, and not many of you showed up to SEM services or Bruce Crossing to hear me speak. And probably a good idea. But I'm going to give you a little story, and I've used this a couple times about me the first time I went to Bruce Crossing. We had been in SEM for about a month. And that back then, we were short of pastors up here, and if you walked into the seminary, that meant you were going to Bruce Crossing once a month to preach. There was no questions asked, that's where you were headed. Well, I got to Bruce Crossing. I had no ability to string more than about three words together without stammering all over the place. And I got up after doing scripture and prayer to deliver the message. And I remember looking down. Now, those of you who know where Bruce Crossing is, this is a small church in a small community just straight south of us. And it's a country church. And I looked down and I thought I saw a mouse underneath the pulpit moving. And I stepped back and I looked and there was nothing there. And so I went up and I took a drink of water. And I got back towards the pulpit and I looked down. There's something moving down there. And so I stepped back again and I looked. And all of a sudden I looked down again and I realized it was my knees doing this thing. Now, when you deal with something like that, you find out that God can use you despite your weaknesses. I still don't feel very adequate when I step up here. In fact, most of the time I feel very inadequate. But I know through the 7 years that I've been called to serve this congregation, that God has used me, despite that weakness, despite an inability to really speak with great eloquence like some of the pastors that I know and I look up to. And that's not just for this job. That's for all of you also. Joanne has a sign in her office, and I know I use this, but I think it's one of the greatest signs. God does not call the qualified, He qualifies the called. He will take care of you. If you are called to do something within His body, He will prepare you, He will make you able, and He will continue to be with you throughout that ministry, no matter what it is. from mowing lawns, from building buildings, from teaching Sunday school, from praying and interceding for others. All these things are gifts of God given by the Holy Spirit so that His body would have what it needs to function on earth and that His Son would be proclaimed. And if you say, I don't have the ability, you're either lying to yourself or you've bought into Satan's lie. You have the ability. You have been given all spiritual gifts in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ says to you, just do it. And then keep your focus on Him. Not what you're able to do, but on Him and what He has done and His completed work on Calvary. And keep proclaiming that and keep doing it in His power. Because in a little bit here, we'll see what happens to Peter when he takes his focus off of that point. But when he saw the wind was boisterous, he was afraid. And he began to sink and he cried, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Why did you doubt? I think this is great. Because so many times in our walk this happens to us. We start looking around and we start getting caught off about either what's affecting us or what's we're being controlling us, how we're going to get stumble and fall. And we forget whom we serve. We forget whom gives us the power to do the things that we do. And we start to look around. Oh, look at that. Look at what's going on over there. Oh, look at that big wave that's coming in my path. And when that happens, a lot of times we do start to sink. But Jesus is still there. Even in the midst where our head may go under for a while, Jesus is still there, reaching down to lift us up out. Turn our focus back. And that's really what Peter says. He gets all mixed up in looking at the waves and the wind and the froth blowing on top of him. And he calls out, and he starts to sink, and he calls out, save me. His focus got turned back to the person that gives him the power to walk on that water. That's where our focus needs to be. Not on what we're doing, not on what the outside world is doing, not on how it affects us. Our focus is to be on the person of Jesus Christ. And when we find ourselves being drowned, to look back to Him. Because He hasn't changed positions in relation to us. He's still right there next to us. And pulls us up. No matter who we are. No matter what sin we may be drowning in. Jesus Christ is standing next to each and every one of us. This is not only for His disciples or those of us who call on Him and call ourselves His disciples. This is for all people. Understand what Jesus Christ did on Calvary. Understand that He shed His blood to wash away the sin of the world and our sin individually. And look to Him. He will reach down and lift you up. And in fact, already has. You just have to realize it. And so, He lifts Peter up. and they come back into the ship and the wind ceased. See, I think this is really kind of the interesting thing. Because Peter has already walked out away from the ship. And Jesus lifts him up and they both come walking back to the ship. They both are on top of that water. Together. And that's what keeps us above. That we walk with the person of Jesus Christ. That we realize it is Him that we follow. That we realize it is Him that keeps us in faith. That it is Him that gives us all power. And it is Him that enables us to do what He has called us to do, even in our weakness. And they worshipped Him, saying, "Of a truth, You are the Son of the living God." And that's when His disciples worshipped Him. In Jesus' name, amen.